opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
About now,
there we are.
Oh, there you go. Sounds beautiful.
I was in a tunnel of silence for a moment. Good morning, everybody. This is the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel, and I'm with my. I have two co-hosts today, two co-pilots.
Yeah.
We have Mr. James Mazzotta from Enjoy Magazine, as
morning,
usual.
Morning.
Good morning. And we have Mr. Jim Wadley here.
Good morning.
He's actually, and he brought his young cohort with him.
Yeah.
You want to say hello?
Hi.
Austin's 14 years old.
And Austin's 14.
Yeah.
He just it's going to go viral now.
Yeah.
That
That's
one,
right.
It'll be a soundbite. Hi.
Yes.
My name is Hi. And so for those of you who don't know, Jim is actually our Redding Airport manager.
I am.
He's been very busy lately for the last, what, year or so?
I've been busy since I got here. Yeah. 2 years. 2 years now.
He's been very busy.
And let me just tell you, because, you know, I've talked you up, right?
Oh, boy.
And it's all good and fine when you talk somebody up, but when you finally get to experience really firsthand what you've done, it's really mind-blowing. I mean, we've seen the pictures. We've talked about numbers. You've been running the circuit lately because you're doing a great job giving us destinations galore. But my sons just took Aveo. Is that how you say it?
Avello.
Avello, sorry. In from
Burbank.
Right. And, you know, I was in the parking lot and I saw the plane come in and I was like, oh, it's a really good looking plane. It landed, and then like 3 minutes later, another plane landed, and then about 5 minutes later, another plane landed.
Yeah,
and
two regional jets.
Yeah, and they were all lined up, and people were piling out of them, and then the firefighting planes were flying in, and I was like, this place is really happening. And then I went inside, and I was like, holy, because you've talked about having to get funding maybe and say,
we need to.
A B terminal, and I thought,
Terminal B, yeah.
We don't, you know, I mean, okay, right? No, literally.
Well, yeah.
I mean, people were standing on each other's shoulders.
I mean, the terminal is adequately sized for the amount of traffic we've had over the years.
You know, because it's peaks
but
and valleys.
Now that things are kind of, it's a tipping point where more locals are flying. I mean, we're not even to the point where half the local population is even flying. And if we get there, we're in some deep trouble. So we really need to be thinking about advancing the terminal there.
So it's a real deal. And we talk about this a lot on the show because of the fact of what we're here for, and that's California Adventure District,
that's
you know, the ultimate plan is to turn this part of the state into what it really is naturally, and that is a global destination for adventure known world round. And we are going to need that infrastructure that you're putting together to support that.
Yep,
and
that's
it will.
Right. Jim is also here in the capacity as somebody who likes to disappear off-road.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so this
you
show,
don't know where I go. Yeah.
This show is going to be somewhat dedicated to the topic of overlanding.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why Austin's here, because he's kind of interested in driving and drives off-road mainly. He has no pavement time, but all off-road on our property, and he loves driving the Jeep. And so he's kind of caught the bug. He's been on some trips with me, it's only just beginning for him.
Right? So he's in the overlanding infancy.
Yeah. Yep.
And at 8:30, we should be joined by a gentleman named Brett. Sorry. He's the owner of Overlanders HQ here in Redding. Looking forward to hearing more about what they do.
Yeah. Me too. I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, I was telling you last week we were here. My kids were overlanding. That's
cool.
They were doing, and
it's so much fun.
Funny enough, you know, Nigel is very gracious for letting me plug things that we do here with Enjoy as well, because you know we work so closely together. But last night was Movies in the Park. We're in July. I can't believe the year is going by so fast. But we were showing Indiana Jones, and we are the entire month of July down in Anderson River Park at the amphitheater. And when we finished packing up last night, my kids all jumped in my son's truck with about 10 other friends, and they had planned and drove.
They have a big truck.
Well, they multiple cars. Okay. But they all headed out at 1 o'clock in the morning to Lassen and climbed the peak so that they could watch the sunrise.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I have, you know, I'm a total freak. I must know where my kids are. I'm a helicopter pilot parent for sure. And so I have, like, as my kids are going out the door, I'm like, wait. And
here's your ankle bracelet.
No, seriously. But it attaches to their backpack.
Yeah.
It's called Somewhere.
Yeah.
And I have this map on my phone, and it shows me every 29 minutes it updates their location via satellite.
But there is a lot of value to that.
Yeah. And I'm like, here's the SOS button.
Yeah.
If something happens, push it.
Better to have it, not need it, than need to have it.
Right.
Really.
So it's kind of like on an airplane, a black box, you know, like we can find you, kind of a.
Mm-hmm. So where did they go? Where did they go?
They went to the top of Mount Lassen. Oh, yeah, they went. Yes, they went exactly where they said they were going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. No adult bookstores, nothing like that. No.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
So you had a late night.
I did, because then even when I got home, it's hard for me to sleep when I know they're out in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're old enough, but I swear when they're 50, I'm still going to be checking my phone.
I always wondered, what started Movies in the Park? Not to take up too much time.
It's awesome.
So, you know, we do enjoy magazine, and our whole feeling is that we're storytellers. Our goal is to share the best that Northern California has to offer, but there's the saying, and we always try to find things where actions speak louder than words, right? So these are our words, and we realized we needed to take action into the community physically, and so we were like, okay, what can we do that would be great for community? And I don't know, but I mean, we've been doing this, I think this is our 14th year.
That's awesome. I mean, when I first moved here,
that's how I met you. Yeah. Yeah. You came up and you were like, yeah, you're so cool. And I'm like, I know, right? And
anyway. So, you know, so this is a pretty decent segue, not perfect, but it's a pretty decent segue. As far as putting our area on the map on a global scale, so I think I had a late night two last night, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may know Kevin Cry here in town. He owns the Ninja Gym.
Oh, cool.
That's
Ninja Coalition.
I mean, there are a lot of people that know it, but I still think there's way more people that need to know about it.
Where is he at? Where's the store?
Mount Shasta Mall.
Okay.
On the back.
You don't access it from the inside. You access it from the outside. It used to be a gym, and before that, when I was a kid, it used to be a theater.
That's right.
And you used to access it from inside the mall, and it was cool because it had a big opening, and then you'd walk in, and you'd kind of like walk down underground, you know, into the theater.
But anyway, he also, so Ninja Coalition is a great place for kids, right? It's a great place. It's a big ninja gym, just like Ninja Warrior
Ninja
TV,
Warrior
that's
TV,
it, right?
Yeah.
And some of the Ninja Warriors actually show up there from the actual TV show. That's great. But he also has a talent management company called Valor Talent Group. He represents athletes and ninja warriors, but he also represents Olympians.
Olympians, yeah.
And
that's in the foreground right now.
Right. And
Olympics are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So now he represents somebody who has a real shot at gold, Brody Malone.
Brody.
Incredible
gymnast.
Yes, and he has a real chance at gold. And so drove down to Vacaville yesterday to meet him and take pictures of him for the promo. And, you know, we're going to see if he can actually, you know, come to the California Adventure District instead of Disneyland if he wins gold, which would be great.
Hey, very cool.
But it's kind of cool that an Olympian who has a real shot at gold is represented by somebody here in town. It's awesome, right?
That is awesome.
Now, so he's been here to town, right?
No. He's from Georgia or Tennessee, but he's going to Stanford.
Okay. Because I could have swore he was here on a trip. Because you asked me if I knew him, and I thought I did, but then when I realized who he was.
Okay. So I think that's it for this segment. And, look, we had Mr. Overlander walk into the door. This is great. So we'll be right back, and we'll get into Overlanding.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, and we're back. This is Nigel, California Adventure District.
Nigel's shortened our brakes. It's like staring down the barrel of a gun.
I know. Well, you know.
Let's get a move on.
Let's get it going. Well, last week, was it last week?
Yes, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
That was riveting. I loved that one.
We actually got quite a few people contacting us afterwards saying, well, where did he see Bigfoot? Where was that?
Yeah.
And they want to go.
Yeah. Well, last night I got a lot of questions again about Bigfoot, camping with Bigfoot.
Going to have to get people to sign a disclaimer. we also have our good friend Jim Wadley back in the studio.
Yep, still with you.
Jim?
Jimbo.
Jim is our Redding Airport manager, but he's also a huge overlanding.
I have an addiction.
Person.
I have an addiction.
Fan. And then we have, now we need to be nice to them. This is Mr. Brett Widner.
Yes. Widner. It's pronounced
Widner. Widner. And he's here in town, and you actually live here in Redding, obviously.
Yes, I do.
And he has a company called Overlanders HQ.
Yes. Yeah, right? We're on the corner of Cypress and Victor in Redding.
Cypress and Victor.
I'm going to check you out.
Yeah. Hey, come by.
I got to bring my wallet with me.
Definitely wallet, checkbook, firstborn.
Yeah. We have loan applications,
yeah,
right?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
So for those who don't know, because I'm one of those who maybe a year ago didn't even know what overlanding meant, right?
It's a cool word.
You got to check out overland. And from what I understand, like in the old days, it just meant getting in your Jeep with a sleeping bag and going out in the middle of nowhere and just finding a place to crash, right?
Mm-hmm. Overlanding has been going on then for a really long time.
The pioneers were
overlanders.
Definitely. Hey, it's a new name and new term for something that, you know, people have been doing forever. It's just a new name for it.
Yeah. So then
marketing, good names
exactly.
really make things then legit and work, right? Yep. So now it's got a great name, and it's a cool thing.
Yep.
It's a cat overlanding. Cat overlanding, yeah. So when I started researching it and found out that obviously our area would be perfect for overlanding, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I started researching it, and, you know, it turns out you can buy yourself a $1 million rig to go overlanding. So you can go anywhere from you can go anywhere from a used pickup truck with a sleeping bag to a totally decked out like 2-bedroom apartment on next thing I'm
you can.
it is, because overlanding isn't having a specific vehicle. Right. Overlanding is the adventure and going out and finding new places and going places. How you choose to do that is up to you.
And what's in your cooler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's not a set rules of what you have to do. It's how you want to do it, what works for you. And
so if you have the cash, you can do 5-star overlanding.
Exactly.
Right?
You can.
It's like you're at the Sheraton all the time.
There's a lot of flashy stuff out there.
Yep.
You can get it.
Yep. Well, I found myself, you know, obviously digging into it on YouTube, and there's so many overlanding, overlanders channels.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them actually live and broadcast and have their YouTube channels and live in their truck.
With,
was it Bound for Nowhere and a couple of other channels? And, you know, once in a while you get that bug, you go, oh, you know, I could do that.
Now, let me ask you this question. So, I watch YouTube all the time and stuff, and I see you know, I'm really infatuated with all the rigs and that kind of equipment. How do I say this? It seems to me that a lot of some other countries like Australia and certain things have a little bit more invested in the kind of overlanding way of thinking as far as the equipment that they have. I mean, I know we have trucks and we have all that stuff, but I mean, I've just seen some just wicked pool trailers and things that just, you know, look like you could, you know, go anywhere and do anything, indestructible, like, you know, end of a war apocalypse, like outdoor things.
Right.
And I don't notice really much manufacturing in that regard here in this country, like comparatively.
Comparatively, you're absolutely correct.
Okay.
And thanks. Australia is where overlanding started.
Okay.
So it actually started with their cowboys driving cattle overland on these big cattle drives across the country.
Okay.
And so that's, and they would live out of their vehicles. And then, so it's kind of morphed into a touring thing.
Yeah.
But that is where it originated. And so it is newer in the United States, probably within the last 5 years, 10 years has it really starting to take off. And I think it will continue to grow here in the U.S.
Because I keep, I'm always looking at, like, why, I want that rig. And they're like, oh, it's in Australia. And I'm like, can I put it on a boat and send it over? Or why don't we have...
Pass the 25-year rule. Yes, you could.
Oh, you could?
Yeah.
I'm like, so why don't our Australians putting, you know, putting manufacturing or something over in here with building their cool stuff?
So they are.
Oh, okay.
So like,
so I'm asking all the right questions. Yeah,
definitely. Like Rhino Rack is an Australian company that has a U.S. Portion. Iron Man 4x4 is another Australian company that's come to the U.S. There's multiple companies now that are moving over. A lot of the manufacturing is still done in China. You know, most manufacturing isn't done in Australia. Like Red Arc is a company that makes 12-volt systems, and that is all manufactured in Australia. And absolutely amazing stuff.
Yeah,
technology.
That's the stuff that I want. No disrespect. I mean, I'm not saying, but I'd like stuff made in the U.S. or Canada, or Canada and Australia.
They have a pretty cool sterile room where they don't want any interference when they test their equipment. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, Jim, how did you get into overlanding?
You know, I was looking for a picture last night. I couldn't find it. I know it exists. It was when I was in the Marine Corps. I had a little Nissan Frontier 4x4, and I would just load it up just like you see overlanding, you know, vehicles now. And that's kind of how it started. I mean, I would just go off-road every day off, and I would just disappear. And I would fish in the Colorado River, and I'd go shooting. I'd go, you know, spelunking and... There's so much stuff, and it was so much fun, and I would bring friends, and we would have a really great time. So I caught the bug then.
That's funny that you were in the Marine Corps as well. I was as well.
Oh, so thank you for your service.
Thank you. So it's, and I find a lot of
James
other
and I
people.
I
looked up and was like, I feel really left out.
Yeah, but you're the only one with an American flag on your mic. That's awesome.
I see a lot of other veterans in the overlanding community.
Yeah.
And so I think that is just a part of it, too. For me,
you get to use your skills.
You do. And it's in the military. I was in, you know, 04 to 08. You know, we did a lot of convoys and did a lot of driving and that type of stuff. And so it's, I guess for me, similar type of activities, you know, in the civilian world.
So what does your
Jim was a stamper in the office. He got to stamp papers. That's what he did.
Yeah.
I was a radar air traffic controller. I was in air conditioning the whole time in the Marine Corps.
Let me segue back to you. So Jim, but when you moved here,
before I moved here, I was going to start earlier. I started May 13th in 2019, and I told the hiring manager, my current boss, I said, you know, I had some planned time off with my current employer. Can I maybe start a couple of weeks late? And I went to the Mojave Road with my kids, all except the youngest. And we, it's like 330 miles all one way, you know, off road. You cross a couple of roads, but, it was awesome. And at the end, there's a river crossing, and the river crossing, a lot of people go around because it's kind of sketchy. But we went through it, and in fact, he's got a video of it. You guys should see it. It's probably up to the headlights, and my Suburban is 6 inches. It's lifted 6 inches. It's a Z71 Suburban, and on 35s, And when I saw that, I was like, okay, it did fine. I didn't have a snorkel, but it was right in April, so there was a lot of water. And but we made it just fine. And the people that were behind us that we were trying to lose, they ended up going around.
So you lost them.
I lost them. But it was awesome. It was really cool. My son here, Austin, he was standing through the sunroof videoing it. And it's a really cool thing. Maybe we'll put it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, you should.
But it was a lot of fun. It was off-road.
Overlanding.
It usually takes about 3 days. And we did it in 2. And we missed a couple of things. So we have to go back and do it because we missed some really cool sites like the lava tubes. Mm. So what we're going to do is probably flat tow the Jeep, which my son is claiming these days. And then, you know, just kind of make it a family thing and just do it again.
Hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about what if I were to drive up to your business, what is it that you're offering people here?
So what we offer is vehicle outfitting. So pretty much any accessory you could think of, or dream of, that you'd want for your vehicle for an overlanding trip, we can supply and install.
Okay. House batteries for accessories?
Yeah. Awesome. Definitely. Yeah, so we do full 12-volt systems.
I'll come see you.
Yeah, anything you can dream of.
Well, I need to have. Can you do roof mounts?
Yeah.
Okay, because I want to keep my stock roof mount, but I have an ARB rack that I want to put on there, not Mickey Mouse style like I have.
Why don't you just schedule an appointment now? He's got his book with him.
let me save up a couple of paychecks, and we'll do it right.
And James, you could outfit your truck.
Oh yeah,
I see it already.
Tundra. We were on a Tundra this morning or yesterday morning.
I don't know that you can find much metal left on that truck to drill into.
So. Oh, really?
No.
You know what I wanted to ask you was, and it's probably for the listeners too, what GPS do you use, or do you use a phone app?
So I use a phone app.
Onyx?
I do not use Onyx. I have used Onyx in the past. Over the last like 5-6 years, I've used pretty much everything out there. What I have found works best for me is Gaia GPS.
Gaia, oh, yeah.
Okay. And I pay for this full subscription, so I get all the overlays and everything.
You get terrain features, too.
Oh, yeah. You get everything. You get all the motor vehicle use maps, all the Forest Service maps, so you can see all the trails, all the camping spots, everything.
That's cool.
And then...
So our phones actually... I mean, I know that there's GPS, but, I mean, our phones... are as good as any GPS device.
Yes.
You can download offload maps, so if you have no service, you can still see where you are with the GPS.
Exactly. See, that's what, okay, so that's what that's about, because I'm always like, I can't seem to get it to work.
What I did is I went on Amazon and bought just the cheapest tablet I could find with GPS.
I did the same thing.
And... But
Dragonfly or something, some weird. You have to have the GPS.
Yeah, it has to have GPS so that way you can track your physical location and then download all the maps in your area or where you're planning on going, and then.
So that's what you do is you just preload the
preload everything, and that's all a GPS is that you're going to go out and buy from the stores, just a device with preloaded maps on it.
Ah, that's the difference. Okay.
Yep.
So when we get back, we'll get into overlanding in our area specifically, California Adventure District, and why in our area specifically you will definitely need a GPS tracker. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning.
Sorry, Ed.
California Adventure District Radio Show. Do you think Brett would recognize this song?
I don't know. Let's ask. Do you recognize the song?
If you recognize the song, you get a free cap.
It sounds familiar. Do I know the name or the artist? No.
It's a tough one. I don't know how, you know, especially if you're an American.
well,
you are American,
we'll
aren't
have
you?
We'll have to give him a cap anyway. That'd be good. So we have this thing going that if anybody recognizes that song,
they get a free hat.
They get a free hat. And so far, no one's gone. The only one's gone is my stepson Tanner. But it's because I told him so.
I guessed it, but no, not. I said it in a sentence. I didn't know what I was doing.
You just said a word in a sentence.
Yeah.
So we have a full house here, which is great. So my name is Nigel. We have James Mazzotto with us again. I think James, you're like a permanent fixture. I think we're doing this like permanently, right?
I'm hoping so.
It's pretty good.
I'm dreaming about it. They say when you start dreaming about something, it's permanent.
Yeah. So
I dreamed about it last night, and here I am, and I'll be here on Monday. I have another show for another hour.
Right. On. And we have Jim Wadley with us, a Reading Airport manager, but overlanding fan.
Very much so. And also a very big fan of Cat. So.
Yep, thank you. And we have Brett Widener. Did I get that correct?
Yes.
Yep. He's actually here in Reading, and he has Overlanders HQ. So,
which fits in perfectly
Toy Store.
To California Adventure District. So, right? So
definitely.
Hopefully a great relationship is beginning here as well to continue to support you and what you do.
When I started the California Adventure District, just looking at our low-hanging fruit, but also underdeveloped, not undeveloped, but underdeveloped pillars of outdoor recreation, right? So we have the mountain biking. We're known around the country as a mountain bike mecca, but even that is underdeveloped. Like the whole goal is to make that one of the pillars and to be a global destination for mountain biking. And there's a few others. The equestrian is the same thing. But overlanding, the whole 4x4 world is massive, right? I mean, it's a massive industry. And when I look at California Adventure District and it's 38,000 square miles of, overlanding magnet, really, right?
With hidden treasures.
Hidden treasures. I mean, with my car, I've been overlanding involuntarily. And it's not hard to do, right?
No.
There's so many.
He's directionally challenged. That's why he just.
Well, he gets lost. He just goes.
No, I made the mistake of thinking my car was 4x, but it wasn't. So, and all it takes is like half an inch of snow, and he's like, done. You know. But with so many trails, and the whole thing about overlanding is trying to go places where a normal car wouldn't go, right?
Yes and no.
That's what was going to be my question.
So,
do you have to have a trail, or is it just you drive off the dirt and away you go?
Overlanding doesn't have to be off-road.
Oh.
It doesn't.
The true definition.
You could literally go and you can drive up to an easy trail, just dirt, and have a beautiful view.
Hmm.
To me, overlanding is the journey. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not the destination and not the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just going out there, enjoying something, and going somewhere where you normally wouldn't go, you know, on an adventure.
Yeah.
I
like that.
It's a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
And there's a group out there. I was actually reading Four Wheeler yesterday. You wheel to camp, and then there's other group that camp to wheel. And so there's different extremes. But, you know, I'm kind of in a mix of both, but I actually like more of the easy adventure. Take the family and just see their smiles ear to ear.
Mm-hmm. Like I have a inflatable stand-up paddleboard, and that's what I love, is going to like these high elevation lakes and streams.
Very few people.
Going paddleboarding. And going fishing out there.
I didn't think about that.
And so
that's cool.
Overlanding and camping is a byproduct of going and doing those things. It enables you to go out and stay out longer, and stay out more comfortably.
Yep.
You know. So I don't know why I've never even thought about that, but just you just popped into that. What you just said just gave me tickles. I was like, I love those high altitude lakes. They just, to me, they just call you to like come in. You know, right?
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it on that, you know, you're really just you're not disrupting really anything. You're just floating on the surface and.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So where are some of the areas you've been to up here?
So like Lake Tamarack. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with that area? Castle Craigs area, Gumboot Lake, Seven Lakes Basin. That whole area is just some of my favorite area out here.
Cliff Lake, is that one?
Yep, Cliff Lake.
My boys were just there probably 2 weeks ago and saw the video of them jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great.
Lake.
How about if somebody had 4x4 and they want to take their family, where's a good trail for them to start?
So an easy... an easy place that's close to town would be the OHV Park behind Shasta Dam.
Right.
You know, that is, it has marked trails.
Some are friendly, some are more challenging.
Right, and they all are graded. Most of the actual overlanding trails that we go on are just Forest Service roads. Mm. They're not hard four-wheel drive trails. A Sprinter van, you know, a Subaru, most cars with a little bit of clearance can make these trails.
Almost anybody can do it.
Yeah.
I have a Sprinter van.
Yeah. I'm going to see you out there.
It's not like you have to have this huge four-wheel drive with all this work put into it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that do that, and it's cool, but it's not what you have to have to go out and enjoy.
I mean, basically what you're communicating is that there's a broad spectrum of overlanding, and it's as little and as much as you want it to be.
Exactly.
Which is like, that's perfect, right?
You sound like you have a lot of information. I think people can come and visit you and find out more.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So, again, specific locations. So up near Castle Craigs, behind Shasta Dam.
That area, the Lassen area. Is a great area, Bernie. Heading west, you can go to like Bully Shoop Lookout. The fire lookouts are always kind of a cool place to go. That are a good beginning trail, typically, not too extreme.
And some of these fire lookouts that we have, when we've done stories on them, you can actually rent.
Yes,
and
yes, you can.
You know, drive to them and then sleep up in the. Lookouts.
The Hers Mountain Lookout.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
It's only like $15 a night. You have to bring in all your own water and food. There's no toilets, which is just like overlanding.
Yep.
You know, just dispersed camping.
It's just you get to sleep up high.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll sleepwalk.
That's funny. Well, you know, this specific weekend, so happy 4th of July, right?
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday. So, you know, this specific weekend would be a great, if you're here in this area, to go overlanding on the coast, right? So escape the fire and head over to the coast. Crescent City is having a great 4th of July. In fact, you know, you would have to leave now. That's where he's gone. But you have to leave now and get to Crescent City. They have a great 4th of July celebration. Starts today and goes all through tomorrow. Parades and bands and whatever else. They're open, right?
Are we having 4th this year?
Just fireworks.
Just fireworks.
Just fireworks.
Yeah. You know,
that's it.
We'll add to the smoke.
How about you? Have you been to any of the local trails up here?
Not yet. I have. It's all work and no play. But actually, no. I did Hogsback, which was a surprise for me. That was. I did that in my Suburban.
That explains the grumpiness.
That's a big. it's a big vehicle to take up there. I the whole time I was driving it because it's really big cobbly rocks, and I wish I had the Jeep instead. It's a much lighter. It's like 2,900 pounds. It's super light. In fact, that's with everything on. I take the top off a lot. But let's see. I did that and a couple of trails over in the Lassen National Park. And that's about it. I mean, cool. What I'm doing right now is not only just smogging my vehicles, but I'm welding. I'm welding, you know, a new exhaust on the Jeep. And I'm just kind of – I'm prepared. I already have the gear I need. And I just, what I like about my Suburban is most of the time I put everything inside the Suburban. So, mm-hmm. you know, sticky fingers can't take it when I'm stopped. So that's kind of my style. Usually when I went on the Mojave Road, I had to put stuff on top. I mean, and I had a lot of spare tires. But you know, I want to do more here, and I'm definitely going to be going over to Overland HQ and learning more, and maybe join you on some adventures if you have some. So
what made you start your business?
So what made me start? I was working in solar at the time. And
you know solar.
I do know solar.
You can do that with your rig too and be self-sufficient
exactly.
on the road and yep. trail.
But Overlanding was, you know, what we were doing every weekend. It was my passion. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was sitting there at work one day and was like, this is not what I want to be doing. And I had taken my daughter on a birthday camping trip up at Tamarack and was talking to her about, you know, what she wanted to do in life and how she wanted to do something in an off-road. And she wants to be an engineer. So I'm like, well, you know, you could work as an engineer for a suspension company and get to test parts and do stuff like that. And so that got me to thinking of what I could do to...
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is 12 now. She was turning 11 at the time.
What a very ambitious
so
child.
You're
talking, suspension invention.
So then you realized you weren't doing what you love.
Exactly. So I realized that, hey, what could I do to be doing what I love every day and get paid to do what I love? And so I'd run stores in the past, and so that was what I'd come up with, to run a store and do installs and then eventually do guided trips and stuff like that.
So how long have you been in business?
We opened Thanksgiving last year.
Wow.
Good timing, 2020.
Yep, 2020, middle of the pandemic. But the pandemic's actually been helpful our business model.
Well, I see a lot of people, you know, I mean, the pandemic's been good for many industries, and I think one of them, obviously, is people saying, well, you know what, see you later, I'm going off-road.
Yep.
And what's interesting to me now is, like Ford is, you know, that electric truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these bigger trucks are becoming electric, and combining that with the solar, right? I could see how if you did the rig correctly, that you wouldn't even need, you could be completely self-sufficient, right?
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday. The technology is not quite there yet.
They're getting there, but they have a little ways to go.
Just
power, battery density, and
just
and
how
solar
much power,
efficiency.
The efficiency of the panels just isn't there to.
Keep that kind of a level of charge. Yeah. You'd have to lay a few out.
You have to be there a while.
But solar is used very frequently in overlanding builds on vehicles. So that way, if you are camped somewhere for, you know, an extended time, you can still run your
refrigerator
fridge, and run your camp lights, stuff like that, and not worry about draining your starter battery.
Mm. But could you charge like the new F-150 that's coming, right? That you plug in and charge. Could you like?
No.
You couldn't.
No, you couldn't recharge an electric vehicle with
solar.
With solar,
yet
not.
I mean,
not
technically,
not
you
remotely.
Can, but
can you invent it? Can you?
But
can you invent it?
Technically, no. You can, but that's more like that's a big system that you would need to do that. Because I mean, even if you take your Tesla and plug it into your wall at home, it's the 110. It takes like days to do that. You need big power, but you know, I mean, technically, you could. You just need your own. Solar.
I have an idea.
Solar farm.
I have 5 kids that could power a small city. That's how you do it.
There you go.
You got to do it with kids.
Yeah, you set them up on bikes, like Nice Ride or whatever, and they all have to run an hour a day.
Yeah.
So, Brett, what is your typical customer, or do you have a wide variety of customers?
Oh, definitely a wide variety of customers. You know, people coming in just looking for a basic setup to, you know, a full build. Suspension, wheels, tires, water systems, kitchen systems. I mean, you can go from very basic to very extreme.
What's the most common vehicle that you see?
The most common is going to be probably Toyotas, Toyota Tacomas, and Toyota 4Runners.
4Runners, yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, cool. So we have one more segment left after this.
I'm going to have to tell you, because my son just bought a bus. And he's doing a conversion. He just stripped it, cool. And he wants to be a schoolie.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like doesn't matter what the vehicle really is.
I've seen really cool
systems
like that.
Right?
Yep.
Because he's like, okay, now I'm at the point where I need to start building. And I'm like, well, you need to find people that can help you because I can't. I don't. You
know. Right.
Cool. Well, we'll be right back. Last segment, California Adventure District.
The Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Morning.
How are you? I'm good.
California Adventure District.
I've got my coffee. I've got my peanuts here.
Yeah,
cashews.
You're good.
I'm doing good.
It's a full house. It's kind of cozy in here, which is kind of cool.
It's awesome.
California Adventure District. For those who don't know, California Adventure District, we are. This is an identity project. I say it's a long-term permanent identity project for the 12 northern counties of California. A very quick recap. When I moved here about 12 years ago, it didn't take me long to realize that this place was totally underbranded and undermarketed. And
couldn't agree more.
Right. And it just seemed to me that this whole area was missing the boat as far as, especially as far as travel-related spending is concerned. And
it has been forever.
For a long time.
I mean, really, you know?
Well, I'm helping with the traveling part, so
I know. Let's
finish up the vision here.
Yeah, Jim's pulling his weight here. Now we go.
Come on, guys.
Right? But seriously, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, when I moved here, I literally had no idea. And
I think people that live here their whole life don't even have the idea.
There were a few general consensus that I found out. Number one, as everybody didn't like the economic situation here. That was number one, right? Mm-hmm. And they referred to this place as, was it Poverty Flats or whatever else? And some of the counties around, their economic situation was just not good. And it was known for not being good. And then, but the other consensus is, we live in an amazing place.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you put two and two together and you look at the actual numbers of the travel-related spending in California, it's massive. It's number one in the country, right? Yep. By far, California number one. And then you look at California itself, how it's divided into sections. And Bay Area is number one, right? And they make a massive amount of money on tourism and travel-related spending. And then Los Angeles County, obviously, with Disneyland and all that stuff and all the things that are going on in Southern California.
Bay Area beats Southern California?
Yes.
Gosh, I would not
by much.
That's a lot of Alcatraz.
When I say Southern California, Los Angeles County and Orange County combined beat the Bay Area.
Okay.
But anyway, those three combined is about 60%, account for about 60% of the travel-related spending coming into California. Our region, when I say our region, I mean our seven counties and the counties on the coast. 1.7%. So we're just missing out on a lot of low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't take much just to go from 1.7% to maybe like 3%. Even if we went to 3% or 5%, it would just change everything.
Well, imagine, when you talk about those numbers, right?
I mean, and what it would do for all the cities.
Right. Yeah. So you've worked so hard in getting the airlines here and getting the flights here. Same thing with Arcade, actually. Got to hand it to Cody and Greg Foster. and all the people now out in Humboldt. They've worked their tush off too, mm-hmm. to get the flights into Arcata. So there's a lot of effort into getting people here, but then
transportation hubs,
right? So there are a number of things here that are low hanging fruit that would actually improve our economy from an outdoor adventure recreation standpoint. And one of those, obviously, is overlanding, right? The whole 4x4 thing. One of the ads I wanted to do for California Adventure District was, you know, you can still drive a truck here. Right?
We need an event.
I'm thinking about it. You know, I have a few ideas that are 4x4 related. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why we're bringing these people on, so that people like yourself can, you know, help guide the district, you know, right? And be supportive of developing these kind of events or things that are
to help. I mean, California Adventure District, obviously, it's meant to be a big bucket,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's huge.
Where other people can fill it, mm-hmm. you know.
Collectively,
yeah. Right? So when it comes to the 4x4 stuff, it would be great to have a few people like you, or if you are interested too, mm-hmm. and help drive the pillar of that industry within California Adventure District, right? So the actual business and industry of 4x4s and overlanding, it's massive, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of just having people come and drive and then leave, maybe there's segments of the industry that this would be a perfect home for.
Oh, definitely.
Are you working on that kind of stuff? I mean, obviously being that you've just been around since Thanksgiving, I would imagine that you just have a million ideas that are in development.
Definitely. We have dozens of ideas in development, and doing guided trips and events, even just day trips, you know, are all things that are on our radar. Because Reading is, in our mind, just a central hub for overlanding.
Mm-hmm.
You can go north, south, east, or west to a trail.
Yep.
And so why not have this be the place that you start from? Mm-hmm.
So even in the summer when it's really hot, you can find a place nice and cool.
Oh, definitely. Always. I know all the cool places.
Hey, why not? Awesome.
All the high elevation rivers, streams, and lakes are always great escapes. Like last week when it was 113 here, it was 92 in Tamarack.
Maybe you can help me. We'll put them on the spot in the air. But it would be great to create like a 7 to 10 day
signature
overlanding route trail, mm-hmm. that's almost circular, right?
So it could be a circular trail, but we are working on a trail that starts in Reading and ends in Crescent City.
Excellent.
Primarily on dirt.
Nice. That'd be amazing.
So and it, right now the way I have it mapped out is about 11 days.
Nice.
11 days.
It's a journey, but it follows.
It's a journey you'll never forget.
Oh, exactly.
My kids still talk about the Mojave trip, and it's awesome. It drives my wife nuts, but it's awesome experience.
Oh, definitely.
See, now what I like about that particular route is you go through Bigfoot country.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Bigfoot country. I haven't seen Bigfoot. But,
you know, speaking of Bigfoot, that was a good segment. the last Bigfoot experience was June, mm-hmm. in June, in Hoopa Reservation. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, the overlanding, probably the vehicle noise gives it away. He can move quickly away when he hears you coming, right?
Unless the electric trucks come.
That's right. Okay, so an 11-day excursion.
Yes.
That'd be wicked.
Yes. And so they would wind like through the Gumboot Lake and Seven Lakes Basin, around the backside of the Siskiyou Wilderness, all the way.
So have you done that, right?
I have not done it yet. We're still mapping it out.
I was going to say, and then do you get to name it?
I guess
name
so.
Name it, claim it?
I guess we
so
do.
So, Jim, I think you need to, you know,
you
take
got a name in mind?
I'm creative. But any river crossings or creek crossings?
About 20, I think.
Yeah. Those are so much fun. They really are.
Oh, yeah.
That's
those are always fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You gotta map it out, mm-hmm. and then name it. You know, give it the name.
And that's 11 days one way.
11 days one way.
You're gonna need 11 days coming back because I can't do pavement. I don't like pavement. Right. So we gotta figure out another way back.
Uh-huh. There you go.
22 days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can definitely go.
22 days.
You can do that.
Sorry, wife. I'm going to take. I'll take most of the kids.
Have you seen Overland Trail Guides, the website?
No.
Overland Trail Guides, they have the backcountry discovery trails all mapped out on their website. And they run, there's the Shasta Trinity backcountry discovery trail, the Lassen backcountry discovery trail.
I like Plumas that people do one. That. That's mm-hmm. so cool.
The Lost Coast 4x4 trail. They're all mapped out on there. And
what's it called again?
Lost Coast?
Overland Trail Guides.
And they're based in Northern California.
Yes.
I've been emailing with Ben.
Yep.
Okay, I think we'll have him come on the show at some point.
And they have lots of great trails mapped out with waypoints and adventure spots. And they let you know how many days the adventure is going to be, 3 to 4 days or whatever it is. So Overland Trail Guides has been a great resource for us. And we use them a lot for trip planning.
That's
perfect.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to, there's got to be like a centralized thing that you can tap into for that, because that information is, for me, somebody that doesn't know, right, that's the scary point, is just figuring it out, right? Mm-hmm. Like what we want to do, where are we going to go, where do I find the information,
Now, is that trail sprinter van friendly? Can James make it?
I know.
Yes, and so they do go through the trails, and they drive all the trails with a sprinter van.
There you go, James.
They'll rate all the trails.
There you go. No excuse.
Like a Subaru can make it, a sprinter van, stuff like that.
Well, we need
blue diamonds versus...
We do need to have one trail that's accessible only by...
Two-wheel? Or only by 4x4.
Yeah.
Oh, there are lots of, Tamarack Trail. Tamarack Lake is only accessible by a high clearance 4-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Off camber.
So do they have a coating?
Rocky.
A coating like Blue Diamond.
There are on.
I mean, Black Diamond, Blue Circle that tell you kind of.
There are. There's green trails are easy, blues, intermediate, and then red and black are most difficult.
Okay, so they do that, right?
Yes.
Nice. Makes sense.
So have you ever gotten stuck? Like, do you.
Oh, yes.
That's what a winch, or some friends are for.
Yes, yes. Always go with more than just yourself.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been stuck many a times.
Yeah, but that's part of the adventure, you guys. It's so much fun getting stuck.
Yeah.
So, I think I'd be out there and just...
You're a masochist.
Well, I went in Red Bluff. I forget the... what's the boat launch down there? Anyway, there was a creek, and it just rained the day before, and it changed everything. And I've gone back there before, but we went back there with a Suburban, and I sunk real fast. I didn't get on it anymore. I just stayed. But it was so much fun for my kids being stuck, and my wife was pissed, and it was great. So it's fun.
That's great. So we have 2 minutes.
You're good.
tell us how people can find you.
So we're on Facebook, Overlanders HQ, Instagram, and we also have a YouTube channel, Overlanders HQ Adventures, and that chronicles our adventures around in Northern California.
I love that because I love YouTube. I'm obsessed with watching people's stuff. So I'm like, go subscribe to your channel.
Definitely.
Seeing as how we may or may not be heading towards, the Mad Max culture of times. Right?
You're going to need a lot of gear.
Brett would be a good resource to deck out your vehicle just in case, right?
In case the
apocalypse happens. And so is your business like open? Can people just walk in and say hi?
We are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you're more than welcome to come in anytime. We're a resource. If you just have questions on, what you're doing on your own rig or need help on your build, that's what we're there for.
Awesome. And then on Fridays at 6:30, you're out, right?
Like, Friday is 6:01. Sometimes on Fridays we do take off early if we're going camping that weekend.
I was
going
to say, I bet sure there's a note on the door.
Yeah. Usually we're out product testing.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I know we could talk for 2 more hours, but we're done.
All right, thanks.
We'll see you next
week. Thank you very much. See you next week.
Thanks for coming on.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.